Welcome to Brainstuff, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Brainstuff, Lauren Vogelbaum here. When economic times are uncertain, people want to put their money in something solid. That helps explain why 80% of all $100 bills in circulation are now held outside of the United States. That's up from only 30% back in 1980. The steep rise in the number of $100 bills held overseas, close to 2 C-notes for every person on the planet, is a signal that people around the world recognize the U.S. dollar as the de facto global currency. They have confidence that if their local currency goes belly up, the dollar will hold steady. And it's not only individuals who are saving American currency for a rainy day. It's foreign governments, too. The governments don't stockpile physical dollars in their central banks, but they do buy up loads of U.S. Treasury bonds and T-bills, which are valued in dollars. As of January 2020, Japan and China each owned more than $1 trillion in U.S. Treasury securities, followed by the United Kingdom with $372 billion and Brazil with $283 billion. According to the International Monetary Fund, more than 61% of the world's cash reserves are held in dollars. The euro is in far second place at 20%. When even an economic powerhouse like China holds a trillion U.S. dollars in reserve, that's a good sign that the dollar is still considered the mightiest of the global currencies. But the dollar wasn't always the world's de facto currency. So what changed? Before World War II, all global currencies were backed by gold, and each government guaranteed that its money was good for a certain amount of gold. Then came the Bretton Woods Agreement of 1944, which created the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, and also established the U.S. dollar as the new gold, because the U.S. held most of the world's gold supply. The dollar continued to dominate during the post-World War II boom years. We spoke with Jonathan David Kirshner, a professor of political science and international studies at Boston College, who co-edited a book called The Future of the Dollar. He explained that the rise of the dollar order was built on 4 pillars: the robustness of the U.S. economy, the widespread belief in the American model of finance, the wealth of U.S. financial institutions, and America's leading role in international affairs. Kirshner said, "Most of the world's monetary relations were orchestrated between the U.S. and its political allies and military dependencies. It was natural to be conducted in dollars." The Bretton Woods fixed exchange rate scheme collapsed in the 1970s when Richard Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard during a period of domestic inflation, and many industrialized economies chose to float their currencies on the open market. At that time, some economists began to predict the downfall of the dollar. Not that it would lose value, but that it would lose its dominance as the world's de facto currency. Over the decades, most of those pillars that made the dollar king of the post-war economy have been toppled. Recessions, stock market bubbles, and the global financial crisis have revealed cracks in the American financial model, and the U.S. has lost some of its political dominance, with many governments and corporations choosing to do business with China or Europe instead. Yet, the numbers show that the dollar is still the currency that nations and individuals turn to as a safe harbor in economic storms. Kirshner said, "The ultimate reason is a simple one: the lack of a plausible alternative. If not the dollar, then what?" There have been periodic calls to shift more reserve holdings to the euro, the Chinese RMB, or even back to gold, but the dollar still reigns supreme. When countries shop for a reserve currency that's stable, secure, and liquid, that is easy to convert back to local money, the dollar is still the default. In fact, some countries such as Panama and El Salvador use the U.S. dollar as their own legal tender. The U.S. government doesn't have to give approval for another country to use the dollar as its official currency. So what about a one-world currency? Not going to happen, Kirshner says. The first reason is political. There's simply no political will to have one world government or one world currency. The second reason we won't see an Earth dollar anytime soon, or the whole world using the U.S. dollar for their official currency for that matter, has to do with an economic theory called optimal currency area that states that a single currency only operates effectively over a relatively small geographic area, the size of a country, for example, not a continent or the world. That's because different regions might be experiencing very different economic conditions at the same time. One country might be in recession while another is booming. Kirshner said, if you only have one money in the whole world, then you only have one monetary authority, which means you only have one monetary policy. In reality, different regions or countries would need monetary policies more tailored to their individual needs. That's one of the reasons why the euro hasn't supplanted the dollar as the de facto global currency. The European Union itself is not an optimal currency area. It's too spread out, which means that EU authorities have to enact monetary policies that somehow serve economies in very different financial conditions, like Germany and Greece. Today's episode was written by Dave Ruse and produced by Tyler Klang. For more on this and lots of other viable topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Brainstuff is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.